Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Jeanette Abney, and I want to welcome you here to another exciting episode here at Blog Talk Radio at Precious Predicaments with Jeanette Abney. Now, again, as we know, I want to thank my Heavenly Father for blessing me and waking me up this morning in my right mind. I'm not feeling all that great, and now people still want to send me text messages. And today, I want to get started with the show. Today's show basically has to do with toxic parenting. And this is going to be a very interesting show. And even though the show is not to throw people under the bus, to make them feel guilty, as I've done other shows in regards to parenting styles, techniques, and talking about parental guilt and things of that nature. But we all know when it comes to parenting, we all have personal experiences. And that's because of either, you know, as we came out of the womb, somebody parented us. And we have our own interpretation of how our childhood was, what we liked, what we didn't like. And I want to say that today one of my daughter-in-laws came in. It was funny because I was told about the show and told her it was about toxic parenting. She wanted to tell me about toxic kids. And I know my grandkids are some baby kids. So I couldn't help but laugh when she was talking about them. So I'm going to join her on the show today, too. And I'm going to also join my special guest. So let me log her on. I know, Jackie, you in there because I just logged you on. So you're listening. And let me also log in my other caller. Let me log them in. Hi, this is Jeanette. How are you doing?
I'm fine. And yourself?
That is great. I know I saw you on the air for a while, so I started to send you a text message, but I didn't recognize this number. So I was like, okay.
She's on the line, too. Charisse is on the line, too.
Hi, Charisse. How you doing?
Hi, Mr. Ned. How are you?
I'm doing well. Somebody phone ringing. Okay, that must be Jackie out there. So at least it's not mine. Okay, so like I said, when it comes to parenting, we all have personal experiences. However, when we talk about being a toxic parent, many of us don't even realize what that means. Because some of the times we can be toxic and not even realize it. Now, we know that one cannot change the past, nor should we punish ourselves for what we didn't know. You know, I always say when we know better, we do better. Today's topic is basically to talk about situations where individuals may still be hurting their children and don't even realize it. Because one may have also, like I said, experiences to hurt themselves. Now, I had mentioned earlier that my daughter brought this topic to my attention by sending me an article. And when I saw the article about being a toxic parent, I didn't become offended. I just started laughing. And I started reading through the article, and I was like, ooh, I did do some of these things. Well, hell, I didn't know I was being toxic. But by that same token, I didn't become offended by what she sent me. I just basically looked at it away, and I told her, I said, you know what, I'm going to do a radio show about this. Because this can be a way to end some of the dysfunctional behaviors and to educate parents, including myself, which is what today's show is basically about. And I wanted Ms. Blackwell on the line with me because, you know, every time we talk about parents and stuff, all we can do is laugh. Because I think I became a parent first, but you had to help me become a parent because, you know, I was all over the place, Mr. Blackwell, because I know nothing about this. And like the old saying goes, sometimes we parent the way we were parented. And even though I was trying not to be like my mama, I still noticed that I was doing some things that she was also doing. Now, let me log on. We got another caller. Let me see who this is. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney. Welcome to Precious Predicaments at Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing?
Hi, how are you doing this evening?
I am well. You want to tell us your name or you want to share something on the radio with us?
Sure. My name is Kathy Jones. I saw the post on Facebook yesterday, and actually we've been talking about adult children. So the subject seems to be very interesting. So I just called in to listen. Maybe later on, if you guys allow me to make a comment, I will at that time. But right now, I'm just listening to see what you have to say.
Okay. Well, thank you, Kathy, for joining us. And I always tell individuals when you call in on the line, you can actually speak because, you know, your number pops up on my switchboard, so I'm able to join you in on the conversation. And a lot of individuals don't realize that to where when I'm tagging individuals on Facebook, I'm giving them the information in regards to the show and the information, but they can also just click on the link. And when they click on the link, that takes you to the radio show where you can also listen to the show live. So I get a lot of feedback saying, you know, I'm busy at 12 o'clock, I can't listen in, I'm at work. And I'll be like, you can click on the link at any time and share the information. That's technically not a problem. So, okay, so let's get started with this show. When we start talking about a toxic parent. Now, even before the end, Mr. Blackwell, what is your comment in regards to this topic?
You know, you said something in the beginning in your monologue of, to the show. You don't know you're toxic until you discover parenting. And sometimes mm-hmm. you don't discover parenting until you're through parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And you begin to look back. You look back at some of the things that happened to you. And you know the classic old statement is, when I had my children, my children ain't going to be nothing like how you raised us. And that's
mm-hmm.
the number one statement that we would always make. If you wait, when my kids come along, I'm not going to treat my kids like you treated us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to treat my kids better. I'm not going to do them like you did us. You just were wrong. Mm-hmm. And little do we know, we discover finding ourselves the very things we said we wouldn't do, we did.
That is
true.
And
we found out because it was an easier inroad. That's how we were trained
mm-hmm.
to discipline and to teach our children how to eat, how to sit at the table, how to be respectful. And then we
mm-hmm.
found out how to treat our kids. And sometimes we discovered, maybe in the middle of our parenting, when our kids got in our teens, said, wait a minute, we made a mistake. But
mm-hmm.
sometimes we don't figure out we made a mistake until they're grown and gone. And then we look back, you know what, and we have to apologize and say to our kids, you know what, if I only would have knew better, I would have done better.
And you know what?
It's just one of those things.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? And the thing is, when we talk about toxic, not only parenting, but some individuals could just be toxic too and not even realize it. Because I remember people always ask me, well, where did you get the name Precious from? And I always tell an individual, Precious was actually my mother's nickname. So in my show, I always talk a lot about my childhood, what I learned and, you know, being a parent, what I learned in my childhood growing up in Compton, and also the fact that I am a therapist and I do see and work with a lot of clients. Now, when my daughter, like I said, she gave me this article, I didn't become defensive. It was funny to me because I saw growing up, and you know us growing up down the street from each other, you know, I remember it took one of my childhood friends telling me, you know, your mama ruined a lot of people in this neighborhood. I didn't realize that until I became grown because she had some things and, you know, thoughts and perceptions and she didn't realize what she was doing was not healthy for people, not even to her own children. Now, we know that there are many perceptions and interpretations when it comes to things, whether it's a person's style, techniques, and discipline. And like you said, one may have grown up with a toxic parent and didn't even realize it. But like I said, this subject matter can also be difficult when it's brought to someone else's attention. But I wanted individuals to realize that toxic parents do exist. And I've indicated that, as we know, the Department of Children and Family Services, they're no joke. And a lot of times when parents used to say, I brought you into this world, I'll take you out. And we found out that that also narrows consequences. So when we start talking about that, toxic parents is something that can leave individuals, including children, when they become adults, to realize that something was not right with what they experienced as a child. And sometimes, like I said, we try to do something different. But the thing is, the toxicity can become such a difficult, hidden, self-blaming matter that can result in psychological trauma if areas of concerns are not addressed. Now, we all know, Delano and the other caller, that many parents do their best as a parent. And we've also come to realize that there are many types of parents. Now, when we come to that realization, we know that nobody is perfect. And we also going to talk about today the different types of toxicity. So we want it to be a known fact that in regards to parental abuse, it can damage countless lives. Evidence have also shown that many parents who were abused as children also often go on to abuse their children. Not all. So like I said, today we're not trying to throw anyone under the bus. That's not our goal. Our goal is to end family dysfunction by stopping old behaviors, acknowledge and take responsibilities for our wrong, and hold individuals accountable. And it's also important that we make sure that new parents do not repeat those old behaviors. And that's why it was funny when Jackie walked into my office, because I noticed too, Delano, I parent my grandkids different from the way I parented my kids.
Oh,
sometimes I think my grandkids, you know, because I learned that some of that stuff just didn't work with my children. So with my grandkids, I'm trying different things, but I got these grandkids that they kind of like, you know, sometimes I'd be wanting to go back to the old ways and them old styles and, you know, just to see, just to experiment, because my grandkids is kind of a whole different breed of kids. So when we start talking about that and talking about the truth about toxic parents and how you may be in unintentionally harming your kids. Now, Delano, I'm going to ask you, even from a pastoral perspective, what are some of the ways from your perception that a parent may be harming their children and don't even know it before I bring up some of these topics?
You know, one of the things I've discovered from many counseling sessions with the parent and while pastoring, you discover the parent doesn't really, they know their child, but they don't understand the emotional trauma they have caused to their child due to due to their parenting style. And I've discovered that we can cause mental, emotional trauma to our children in parenting, because every kid in the house ain't a link. And you discover that as your children grow up. One child could be very submissive and humble, and you say, "Johnny, get up and pick up the ball," and he say, "Okay." Well, the other kid look at you, and, you know, he usually, Robbie, go pick up the ball, and Robbie look at you like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you discover you're treating one child another way and another child another way, but yet still you've been groomed to discipline the child both the same way, but you can't address them the same way because you find yourself having to talk to them different, and then you find yourself in the middle of a quandary because of their situations and their problems. You find yourself cursing one out, and you find yourself speaking plain English to the other one. And it's funny, but the other kid winds up becoming emotionally damaged because he's always the brunt of everything, but what you really named him, that's his name. You know where we grew up. That's how it is. Your name is something else.
I realized what my name was.
Right. You know, when your name is something else when you do bad, but you're my child when you do good. And if you want, and you never, some of the kids emotionally can't handle that. And I discovered that. A lot of kids who I've dealt with, they didn't understand, you know, the difference in praise and discipline. How can I be this one way, and then you'll treat me this way on another situation? And, you know, as parents, we have to be cautious because it can be very toxic, because we keep forgetting we are mixing. We're trying to blend this child into becoming a parent one day or into becoming a citizen, and we're not understanding that our hands is in the middle of the melting pot.
One of the things I want to go first, I want to tell you, the listeners, basically what is a toxic parent. Now, they have a lot of articles, a lot of information, meaning toxic means poisonous, noxious, contaminated. And these phrases, toxic parents, describe parents whose negative behavior grossly inflict emotional damage, which contaminates their children's sense of self. Now, this means that parents who abuse their children, either verbally, physically, sexually, as well as parents who are inadequate or ignore their children's emotional needs. Sometimes these patterns are so established that they continue into adulthood and often are either not recognized or not addressed. Because a lot of times, you know, my grandmother used to have this saying, when in Rome, do as the Romans. You know, my mother used to say, I pay the cost to be the boss. And so parents had these old sayings that they used to say. So kids kind of learned to stay in line. And a lot of times they didn't realize it. And that's why, you know, us growing up in the 70s and the 80s, we couldn't wait to move and get on our own. But then we noticed we started saying the same thing and doing the same thing. Now, there are toxic parents who consistently, their negative parent patterns of parenting, the legacy of guilt and shame within their children, and worse, still are parents who outright cruelty would be considered illegal if exhibited towards either animals, let alone their own children. Now, where do parents like this learn these despicable patterns of behaviors? A lot of times they learn it from their own parents, who in turn learned it from theirs. However, few people make the connection between their parents' parenting style and their own emotional problems. And often these emotional difficulties only become apparent to them when they become parents themselves. So when I, well, like I said, when I got the article from Tisha, I didn't know if it was because now that Tisha is, you know, pretty much parenting writer. I can't take this. You know, I need a break. So, and it was funny because Tisha was that type of child. I never really had to say nothing to Tisha. I just either give Tisha that look or, you know, very few words. Where Reggie, man, I used to have to go to blows with him. You know, there was times people used to ask me, Jeanette, do you love him? You know, because I didn't know what to do with him. And it was because I had my view of, this is a girl, this is a boy. But the thing was, Tisha didn't require as much because she was more, I don't know, she was a different type of child than my son was. Now, all parents we know make mistakes, and parenting is consistently steeped in, like I said, a learning curve. And it requires an enormous amount of patience and determination. So some very traumatic times, indeed, we know parents often acknowledge that raising families can be the most stressful occupation ever. I guess that's why Jackie, when she came in here, she was looking all stressed out, tired, talking about Buddy told her, you need to get a job. You know, she got kids just bossing her around, telling her what to do. But the thing is, when we start talking about that, the most difficult part of parenting is recognizing that our questionable behavior is due to negative influence on our parents. You know, that basically is on us. Now, sometimes it's not always what they did do, but what they did not do that has been harmful for us. Let's talk about that with Delano, because we always sometimes talk about what our parents did, but then sometimes we hold on to what they didn't do. What do you think about that?
You know, that's scary because we always can talk about what they didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we forget it's what they did do is really who shaped us to who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it wasn't for the fact of what they did do, we wouldn't be where we are.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're shaped us enough to get to where we were, but we always talked about it. I ain't gonna never do to you what you did to me. But then on the other side, we took another step forward to re-educate ourselves about ourselves, even about our children, to
mm-hmm.
become a little bit better than how our parents were. Because
mm-hmm.
I look back at it, and I'll never forget with Janisha. There was no way, Jeanette, I could treat Janisha the same way I could treat Delina.
Mm-hmm.
They just were just too different. And they're 4 years apart. And, you know, just trying to look back when I was dealing with Janisha, I said, whoa, wait a minute. What did I leave out?
Mm-hmm.
Because here comes Delana following right behind her.
Mm-hmm.
And I got these two girls, and I said, wait a minute, what didn't I do? And you always want to ask yourself, okay, oh, wait a minute, I got it. She coming along, I got to add this to it. I got to add more curriculum. I got to add more athletics. I got to add more outgoing. I got to be more trusting. I got to be more loving. I can't jump up and down. I can't holler and scream. I got to be more this. I have to be more that. Where every child gets a different mixture, where if what you did leave out, you want to add more in.
Mm-hmm.
And you find yourself, you know, over a period of time, you find yourself, every kid gets a little different parent. Either it's more mild, more calmer, because, you know, you don't come apart at the seams. The first time you went through it, you say, ah, what in the hell? How did I get here? How did I let this kid? And then the next time you're, oh, I've seen this. Oh, I can identify this now. So, you know, how you won't be as toxic the second time around as though you were the first time. Now, for a parent who has their first child, I feel sorry for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because that first child and they only got one child, I feel sorry for them. When you have two children, then you can look back to, ooh, I made some mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to make the adjustment. But when you only have one child and you're doing the best you can with that one and you really don't have a second parent to bounce it off the wall with, to even keep yourself in check where you are not overly exasperating yourself into a place of hurting and harming your child mentally and emotionally, then you're in trouble.
Correct. And you know what? And that's true, Delano, because I'm going to tell you, my grandkids, Lord Jesus, they put me through the test because you know how I am with my food. And people was wondering, like, Tisha was like, you can't be putting Ryder on Facebook. You can't. When Ryder was in the refrigerator with his little stanky feet taking my Delano, I want to lose my mind because you know if that would have been Reggie as a kid, it would have been a whole other story. You know, I had to find another way. And all I could do was just pick up the phone and just start recording him. And he wasn't paying me no attention. And I got grandkids that just like to eat. And sometimes I make a game out of it, be like, okay, let's go out and eat. Let's go out. But then there's other times, man, them kids will eat me out of house and home. I just sit back and go to sleep. Now the question is,
where did that come from?
In regards to their eating patterns?
They just like to eat. I wonder, where did that come from? They just like to eat.
It
must be in the genes,
Jackie came in here and said, I went in your refrigerator and I took something to drink because I know better than to mess with your food. That's with my food. And Mikey, ooh, Lord Jesus. Okay, so I want to give the listeners 13 signs of a toxic parent that many don't realize. Just give the parents some help. One of the things that a parent can do that is toxic and may not realize it is that they fail to provide the child with affirmation and security. Now, those are two things that individual needs in regards to become well-rounded and their being basically feeling self-secured, dealing with their self-esteem. And some people believe that showing tough love is an important way to ensure that a child are able to take care of themselves in the future. But, Delano, we also know that sometimes that tough love can break some kids because we've seen them on people on drugs. We've seen kids run away. Some kids believe that their parents didn't love them. Kids start becoming defiant, wanting to talk back. But the thing is, parents don't really know what to do because when you start talking about affirmation and security, most parents felt as long as I provide food on the table and a roof over your head, that's all you need. Because they really didn't know about the affirmation and providing that type of security. What is your response into that as being one of the ways that a parent can become or be toxic and don't even realize it?
You know, you have a, and that's a great point that you're pointing out, because most of the children, and you know, I coached high school football for over 25 years and dealt with young men. Most of the young men who have a tough time is they don't feel like they don't have the security at home.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like their coach and you won't believe how many times I've dealt with this, that the coach on the football field, the coach on the baseball field, the coach on the basketball field is more conscientious of their needs and their security than their parents at home. And I've seen that in the form where, you know, you're literally taking kids home, giving kids lunch money, making sure they're okay. You know, I've bought football cleats, baseball cleats, and you're sitting there. You're not trying to do the parents' job, but you're just trying to assist them where you see that at home, the kid may not, or they may understand the struggle, the financial barriers, you know, the problematic marriage, or where mom and dad may have some drinking or drug problems.
And I was going to say that.
You know, maybe
the drugs,
they're just, you know,
the drugs,
just going
the
through a real tough time. Right.
Domestic violence is also a big one, too, Delana, when we talk about the security. When a child don't feel safe in their own home, when we talk about the security can be a lot of different things. That's one of those big old umbrellas that a lot of things can fall under security. You know, when there's drug and alcohol use, when there's just family dysfunction, when there's domestic violence, when there's constant fighting, there's a lot of things that goes on in people's home. And, you know, growing up, people used to say, like I said, what goes on in my house ain't none of nobody else's business. But that's security. And so as a parent, we need to do better with that.
You just hit me and you made me think about something. This is going to be real brief. It doesn't make a difference where you are, where your location. It happens to all people of all colors, of all races. And it made me think about it. I was coaching football in Hoover High School. I won't call a kid's name, but he was a good kid, played free safety for me. And he was just having, Jeanette, I mean, a horrible day at practice. Just horrible. I'd never seen a kid like this. So I called him, and you know me being me, I chewed him out. Man, what in the hell wrong with you? What, man, you're not doing what I told you. Man, sit your so-and-so down there on the bench. So he came to me 10 minutes later, got up, and I put him back out there. So after practice, I began to talk to him, and he broke down crying. And I said, what's wrong? He said, man, every time my dad gets drunk, he comes home and he beats on my mom. And it makes me want to go home and kill him. And I never forget this, Jeanette. And I'm just watching the toxicology at home was just killing him at school. And I never forget going to his house, pulling his dad to the side, said, it ain't none of my business. But whatever's happening at home is killing your child at school. And he said, what happened? And I took his dad out. And we sat and had a long talk, and I'll never forget the look on his face. I said, now your son has the ability to go to get a scholarship. I said, but you're going to screw him up. He said, how am I screwing him up? I said, you're getting drunk, beating on his mama. I said, now he's at an age where you may find yourself looking at a gun or a knife one day when you finish beating him. He wants to kill you. I said, and you know, if you don't understand what you're doing to this kid to ruin him because you may make him feel like it's okay when he gets married.
Correct.
To beat on his wife.
Correct.
I said, help him.
Correct. And you know, Delana, you know, I'm going to throw a little monkey wrench in that because, you know, in my home, there was three of us. And because my mother had three girls. And you know,
I ain't gonna let you talk about Zane. I'm not gonna do it today.
But what I'm gonna say is, when you talk about domestic violence, but not only men beating women, but women beating men too, because
I ain't gonna let you talk about Zane today.
No, but I gotta throw this one out there, Delana, because that kind of stuck with me. You know, because I've had people say, you know, Jeanette, going to your house, your mama had axes by the door. She had guns up under the couch.
She had shotguns
behind the door. And it took my husband telling me, I knew you was going to be a problem when you was 14 with a shotgun behind your door. I thought that was normal. That was our security. And it was crazy. But the thing was,
yeah,
that was a learned behavior. And when you were a kid and you, your mama running down the street hollering, bring me my gun, bring me my gun, all you knew was to throw the gun. You know, you didn't know you could be accessory to a crime or, you know, all the mayhem, the mess my mama had us all messed up in. But that's one. The next one, I'm going to move on because we got like 13 things. One of them, another one is a parent could be overly critical. As we know, every parent criticizes from time to time. We always talk about constructive criticism. And without this component, we might never learn how to do certain things, such as everyday chores, like washing the dishes, doing laundry. Would a toxic parent take this to the extreme by being overly critical about everything their child does? Parents can make the mistake of believing that they do this to make sure their parents avoid making costly mistakes. The problem is, unfortunately, this behavior can cause your child to develop an inner critic, their own harsh inner critic. And it can also lead and become borderline crippling in your adulthood. Like, you can't do nothing right. What do you think about that, Delano, in regards to parents that are overly critical and don't realize it?
You know, I used to tell my kids when I coach, ain't nobody perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to make your mistakes. You know, and then as parents, I mean, as kids, when we were growing up, we always taught, do what I told you to do and do it right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember getting a whooping for not watering the grass right. Now, I don't know how in the hell you can get a whooping for not watering the grass right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that again. How in the hell can you get a whooping for not watering the grass? The grass wet, ain't it?
You missed some spots.
I've been standing out for the past 10 minutes. Look, I've been standing out here for the past 10 minutes. I done watered the grass. What in the hell wrong? I got a whooping for not watering the grass.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't scar me, but I was old enough to say, wait a minute, they just had a bad day, and they just wanted to take it out on me. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I was whipping a dummy that day. But,
mm-hmm.
you know,
there's
a critical
on
moment, you know.
You know,
because it was
that.
Funny.
Mm-hmm.
That happened. That was my grandfather whooped me one time, and he waited till I got to be in the ninth grade to want to give me a whooping for not watering the grass the way he wanted it watered. I started
mm-hmm.
laughing. What are you mm-hmm. gonna do whooping me with a belt in the ninth grade? I looked at him. Are you for real? All right, let
mm-hmm.
me stand here and take
mm-hmm.
this. Okay, you got to be out your mind. And I just started laughing. It was funny,
mm-hmm.
but on the other side of the coin, I was mad as hell.
Mm-hmm.
How do you not water the grass right? So
mm-hmm.
to get into what you're saying, Jeanette, now if I water the grass 10 minutes, I'd take 25. See what that whooping did to me? See?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. It makes you say, wait a minute. And that was the next thing. I didn't care. I wasn't paying the water bill no way. But at the point was, I would only do it 10. Now I'm going to take 20. In
mm-hmm.
one spot, I'm going to water the grass for 20 minutes. You know why? Because in my mind, I got a whooping because
correct.
I didn't do it right.
Gotcha.
Now, here's the thing, though. For me, it was a good adjustment, but for somebody
mm-hmm.
else, it may have messed them up.
Correct.
Because
you know, Delano,
saying,
well, and
you know what? I wasn't good mm-hmm. enough, huh?
Gotcha. And that's true. And you know what, Delano? And that's why to this day, I hate cleaning bathrooms. Because you know our bathroom was so small, and by the time we mix Ajax, bleach, and Pine Sol all together, Lord, I thought I was going to die in that bathroom. To this day, I still hate cleaning bathrooms. That's another one to get you in trouble. The next one is they demand your attention. Toxic parents often turn their children into their own parental substitutes by demanding their attention all the time. This can be seen as bonding between parents and child, but it is rarely what they call the parasitic relationship that requires too much of the child's time and energy, and they should be focused on learning other skills. Now, although it can be difficult at times,
A well-rounded parent will allow their child enough space to grow and be kids without demanding constant interaction to suit their own needs. So that's where you get the parentified child. That's where you get the parent is always in the mix, always trying to hang out with the kids. You know, they don't develop a healthy relationship. And you got kids that are walking right here, well, tell my mama ain't gonna care. I could do whatever I want to do. You know, and that's where you find a lot of that, too, where the attitude comes from, is because they don't know how to develop healthy relationships. What do you think about that?
You're right. You know, you're right. My daughter told me last week, I'm your best friend. Dad, you my best friend. I said, you done lost your damn mind. I can't be your best friend, because if I'm your best friend, I can't be your worst critic.
Mhm.
No, you do see that a lot. You do see it a lot, and mm-hmm. I've learned you got to get them kids their freedom.
Correct.
You got to let them discover life.
Mhm.
I can tell them, you know, here's the street you don't go down, but guess what? Sometimes you got to let them discover it on their own.
Mhm. Correct. Now, I know we only have 24 minutes left in the show. If you want to call in and you want to join in on this conversation, you can give us a call at 516-387-1914. And the caller that's on the line, and including Jackie, if you want to talk, just chime in if you have any questions. And we will definitely do our best to answer your questions. Now, here's a big one that I know. They make toxic jokes about you. All parents, as we know, occasionally pick on their children. But when the so-called jokes become the commonplace, this can be a huge, huge problem. You don't need to accept this type of behavior just because your parents are always joked about someone. Such as you said, some of the things they joke about, we know, is your weight, your hair, your height. You know, I had a person come in today, and I was talking because, you know, when I was a kid, I couldn't stand. I got tired of the big nose jokes. But now I tell them I can smell everything. You walk in, I own a drug rehab. I can tell if you're smelling, if you've been drinking alcohol. I tell them if you're burp, I can tell what you ate for lunch. You know, but I got tired of the big nose jokes. So what about those jokes that parents make about their kids and cause them to have a low self-esteem and thinking it's funny and the kids don't think that those words are funny anymore? Because we know words are very powerful. Any comments?
Yeah, you know, I had a good friend, and I want the listeners to know this, who always talked about my height, always. You just short, you just little, and so what? So what? I wasn't as tall as Jeanette. So what? Who cared? I didn't care. That was always the grunt, you know. You short. I never talked about the freckles in your face.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so look, okay.
I ain't said
that's my picture the last time your feet was dangling.
All right, well, see, we can talk about each other. We can go back. But, you know, I've learned not to play that game with my children. You know,
mm-hmm.
I had so many names in high school, junior high, elementary that people mm-hmm. called me, and it scarred me, but I didn't trip because you learn how to get over it. It's just joke. But, you know, when it came down to the kids, I wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can say things that are very hurtful.
Correct.
Because our kids they don't develop the skin that we had.
Mm-hmm.
We had a whole different skin. Me and you could talk about each other all day, every day in school, and we'd still be sitting down laughing and joking after school at each other's house.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't make a difference because it was a joke. But you do it now, your kid won't talk to you for 3 days.
I know. Sometimes longer than that.
I ain't got nothing to say to you. You know, so I've learned, don't even do that. Don't even play that game because you got to be careful. Our kids are persons, and they have issues, too, and they have issues with insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't understand how insecure they could be. But
correct. And you know what, Delaney? That's a big thing because that does have a lot to do with the person's self-esteem, self-image, and their own insecurities. And we didn't realize that because words are powerful and words can break your kids down. So we need to be careful with some of the things that we say because what's happening now, and I think what Jackie's issue was, is with her kids and sometimes with her mouth,
her kids didn't flip the script because she didn't realize they related to me. So she got some kids that, ooh, Lord, I'll be trying my best not to piss my grandkids off. They be on my team because they don't play. They really don't play. Now, another thing is they cause, well, particularly another thing that can be toxic is the cause. Basically, they cause you to justify terrible behavior. Indicating, did you grow up believing that your parents were physically, emotionally abusive to you and you deserved it? If so, you may still be justifying the terrible behavior of others at your own expense. Toxic parents can twist any situation to suit needs, and this leaves the children with two choices. Either one, accept that their parents was wrong or internalize all of the blame, and in most cases, even those who are adults may now choose basically what they call the latter option. And sometimes you also see some adult children abusing their parents. And I'll be wondering, why are they so mean to their mom? Why are they treating their mom like that? Because they held on to that grudge for so long till now it's like when you came to my house talking about the big payback. You know, and I'm like, ooh, for real? Was I that bad? You know? But the thing is, we really have to be careful with trying to justify why we do what we do. Another thing that a child, or basically a toxic parent, do is they don't allow you to express your negative emotions. This was another one. When we're talking about, and I think I just lost Blackwell, but hopefully he'll come back. When we talk about the negative emotions, is parents who refuse to nurture their child's emotional needs and make light of their negative emotions are setting their child up for a future where the child may feel unable to express their needs. There's nothing wrong with helping your children see the positive side of a situation. However, being completely dismissive of a child's negative feelings and emotions can lead to depression and make it more difficult for them to appropriately handle negativity as an adult. And not only just handle negativity, I remember I used to hear people say, what you crying for? You want me to give you something to cry about? That absolutely made no sense to me. But by that same token, when we start talking about domestic violence, we start talking about anger. One of those things is anger is an emotion and it's a valid emotion. But a lot of times parents did not know how to express their emotions, so they were not able to teach their children how to handle their emotion. Another thing that's toxic that individuals do is they scare even their adult children. Now, I always say, even as a parent and as a grandparent, do you want your children to respect you or to fear you? A lot of times when we were growing up, our parents tried to make us afraid of them, but yet they didn't teach us how to respect them. We respected the fact that they went to work. We respected some of the things that they did, but I think we had more fear than we did respect. But in fact, children who feel loved, supported, and connected are much more likely to be happy adults. And we also learn that discipline is basically about teaching, and we want to teach our children versus punishing them. We want to make sure that we are doing things in a way to where kids are basically learning how to handle things. Okay, it looks like Delano's coming back. Okay, Mr. Blackwell?
Yes. Yes,
okay, look like we kind of
dropped
the call. Okay. So I was talking about the difference between fear versus respect and how a lot of times parents basically teach their kids to fear them versus respect them and how we don't realize that that can, you know, cause problems basically later on by trying to scare them, even their adult children. Sometimes we're learning that some of those things and stuff we used to say, our kids now look at us, because when I try that with Tisha, Tisha be looking at me like, whatever, you know. So what do you think about that? That ain't funny.
Your kids know you. You know that. The only ones who really scared of you is Reggie.
Mm-hmm.
Tisha know you ain't going to do nothing to her. Reggie know you're killing. and that's the difference. Tisha know you ain't going to do nothing. Reggie know you'll wipe him out. They know that. And our kids, Delana know I ain't going to kill her, but Janisha won't cross me. Janisha know it's time she's going to walk across the street. What?
Jackie, you got something to say?
I see Jeanette box Reggie out sometimes.
Well, she got to leave my godson alone, but it's just too late now. But on the other side of the coin, we all discover that you know, the way our parents controlled us when we were young was fear, through fear.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes fear will birth respect.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? Sometimes fear will build up a whole amount of hate where they say, I've been waiting on this day. I've been
mm-hmm.
waiting for you to get old. I'm going to pay you back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to pay you back for what you did to me. And I never forget, I was going through my eye surgery, and me and Delaney was going to the store, and she made me mad. She made me mad, and I made her mad, and she looked at me, I'll leave you standing right here in the middle of the store. I said, well, I promise you, when I get home, you better not be around. She said, I'll push you out in the middle of traffic. You can't see the way. And I was saying to myself, maybe I need to calm down and shut up, because maybe she might be trying to pay me back for some of them whoopings or something. So, it is what it is, but on the other side of the coin, I've learned, you know, with our children, you can only press them so far.
Correct.
You know, you want to be the best you can for them, but like I said again, you live, you learn, and you have to, and one of the things I do want to throw in real quick, Jeanette, is even when our children is little, we still got to learn, and I think we didn't learn this until we grew up and got older. We're in our 50s now, and we didn't know that when we were younger and our parents didn't tell us that, you know what, you got to still learn how to respect your children.
Correct. And you know what, and respect do go both ways, Delano. That is
Thank
so
you.
True, because back then, parents didn't believe that they had to respect their children. They thought that that they had to be given respect, but didn't know how to respect their children, and that definitely becomes a problem. But Delana, we're going to be running out of time, so let's go to some of these other things, because there's some other things that I do want to talk about, and one of them is where a parent can become toxic and hurting their children and not realize it, is when they use guilt and money to control you. Every child has experienced a guilt trip from their parents, but toxic individuals resort to this tactic on a regular basis. And what happens is, even as an adult, your parents might still be controlling you by giving you expensive gifts and then expecting something in return. And if you fail to do as they want, then they will try to make you feel guilty about it, because everything they've done for you, and if it wasn't for me, you know, sometimes individuals don't realize that when you're parenting, that's not necessary, because healthy parents know that their children do not owe them for a specific response in exchange for money or gifts, especially when those items are not asked for in the first place. But what I also want to say, there's a difference between giving you a gift and giving you a loan. Now, that doesn't mean, because I think kids, on the other hand, kind of take it and they think that some stuff I ain't supposed to pay you back, or, you know, I'm your child. Even, you know, I had my son talking about he had to go donate blood to catch the bus. I said, well, you better donate enough blood for a bus pass for the whole month, you know, because I'm not feeling sorry for you right about now. But the bottom line is, there is a difference between a gift and a loan. But when parents use guilt and money to control you, what do you have to say in regard to that topic?
I'm going to let you get to the next one. That's pretty self-explanatory, because you want to hear something. If you
What's
are
that?
Holding over 20 years of raising your child over their head, over that, then that shows that you're pretty, and I want to say it like I want to, like I mean it, you're a pretty poor parent.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you did for them, you did for them because you love them and you're trying to bring them up in the best way you can. You ain't bringing them up just to say, you know what, 30 years from now, you're going to have to take care of me, so I'm doing this to make an investment. No.
Mm-hmm.
No. You're trying to bring them up to becoming good people.
Correct. Correct. And, you know, and then talk about biblically how you raise a child in a, you know, in a way that they should be going. And the next one I want to talk about is ignoring healthy boundaries. That can be very toxic, because parents can justify keeping their close eye on their children in certain situations, and it may be necessary to do so sometimes, you know, because you want to make sure that your kids are not associated with people that they should not be associating with. And sometimes we do let our kids be going places where they shouldn't be. But however, everyone needs to be able to set boundaries for themselves, and especially with teenagers. Parents who are toxic override these boundaries at every turn, and this can cause numerous problems. For example, when we talk about boundaries, a lot of times individuals say, well, I don't want my kid mad at me, or, well, you're just going to be mad at me because you ain't going to be drinking, you ain't going to be smoking, you ain't going to be doing all that stuff. I don't care if your friends do it or you say everybody do it. But when you're talking about something that's healthy, it's basically learning also assertive parenting skills. Because that's one of the things that I find in therapy, though, is a lot of people don't set boundaries. They really don't. You want to speak in regards to that? How that could become very toxic?
You know, that's something you hit on, because my grandparents raised me. So there was a whole hell of a lot of boundaries that I couldn't understand. You know, that I couldn't understand that, you know, you just wasn't going to do, you know, growing up. And then when I got older, I had some of the same boundaries. Not long ago, Galena said, Dad, I want to drink. I said, that's fine. You can drink wherever you want to drink. You grown now. She said, no, I want to have a drink with you. I said, no, baby. We don't drink together. I said, now ask yourself a question. Have you ever seen Daddy drink with anybody who wasn't in his group? No. I said, have you ever had a drink at Daddy's house? No. I said, now just remember that. You won't drink with me. You won't drink in front of me. You're going to respect me.
Correct.
And, you know, and a lot of people have different views on that, but that was a boundary I had that, hey, we ain't crossing that, because if we go too far beyond that, then you'll be cursing me out.
Correct.
Then you'll
lose respect for
me, and I want to keep my respectful role.
Correct. I want to piggyback on that a lot, because a lot of parents don't realize that that is a problem, because they feel that if they allow their child or their teenager and even their adult child to drink and use drugs in their home, that at least they can control it. But they don't realize that it can get out of control. It really can. And my mother had this saying, I would rather for you to get high at home than to get high in the streets. But my thing was, if I allow them to do it in my house, they go do it wherever they go. And that is definitely a problem. And then what happens is, then when a child winds up needing to go to rehab, then the parent has no control, because they don't realize they started it. Now, as you know, I'm the owner of two counseling centers, and one of them is in Orange County, which is called the Center for the Treatment of Addiction, where I do offer a lot of programs in regards to drug and alcohol addiction. I do domestic violence. I do anger management. I do a lot of things. And a lot of times, even just working with my clients, many of the issues that they have and they bring to the forefront are because of childhood trauma and things that have happened in regards to being parented, whether their parent was overbearing, or their parent was, you know, an absent parent, or whether the parent was basically too controlling and demanding. But a lot of it has to do with toxic parenting without them even realizing that that played a role. Now, one of the things, and I know we only have like 6 minutes left in the show, that happens with toxic parents is they make the person responsible for their happiness. If you're a parent and you spend a lot of time telling your child how much you gave up for them in connection to their unhappiness, then they're placing unrealistic expectations on your role in your life. No child should be held accountable for their parents' happiness. Also, parents should never demand that their children give up things that make them happy in order to even the score, or being forced into situations basically that will make them feel uncomfortable. I remember when Tisha, because, you know, Tisha played basketball for many, many, many years, and I think she started playing basketball because she saw Reggie getting a lot of attention with being athletic. So Tisha, you know, she karate, she did basketball, she did baseball. But when I wanted Tisha to play in college, Tisha basically told me no. And she literally said, if you want somebody to play basketball, you play. And in a way, I felt like she was being disrespectful, because she knew I wasn't going to be running my butt up and down no court. And then my grandkids, they so flaky. I've been waiting on them to play something.
and they'll start stuff, don't want to finish. I'm like, am I going to ever get to coach again? Because I miss that. But I have to try not to force them to do things or throw up, you know, well, you this and I can't do this and I'm because of you, you know. So that's one of the things. Now, when we start talking about, and because we only have 5 minutes left, if your parent was a toxic parent, and hopefully, like I said, when you know better, you do better. But one of the things is we have to learn how to remove toxic people from our life. Even though it may seem impossible, it is doable. See, it's not always what a person say to you or about you that's important. It's more how you respond and react to it is what makes a difference. One of the things, Delano, and like I said, and I've told you, I'm very proud of you and the man that you've become. Because even when we grew up, you know, there was a lot of obstacles that we didn't even know were obstacles. We were just doing what we thought we were supposed to do, but we also knew that we wanted more. So when people start talking about what made you become a therapist, what brought you into this field, one of the things that I am able to use is my life experience. You know, because in life, life is either going to be a lesson or it's going to be an experience. It's going to be basically what you make out of it. So if you were raised by a toxic parent, don't sit there and try to now take it out on your parent and say, because of you, da 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 da. No, because now you have a choice. You have a choice what you want to do with your life and how you live your life. Because a lot of times we do get caught up in the blame and the shame and things of that nature. And that's one of the things that I also remind my kids and my grandkids of, because we teach kids to sometimes how to be responsible, but we don't teach them how to be accountable. And that can also become a problem.
I was sitting back, and it's amazing, and I'm going to be real quick. It's amazing, Jeanette, how you say this. But I never forget, I was sitting in Ventura. I was pastoring in Ventura for 8 years, and I was sitting in a pastoral conference at the table with some white pastors, and I'll say it, and I was the only black pastor in the room. And I never forget, they all asked me, where are you, where did you grow up? And I said, Compton. And you could have looked around the room, maybe at the table while I was at, and nobody could understand. Here is this black guy from Compton with a doctoral degree in Christian education about to lecture in a room with a whole bunch of white guys who are twice his age. And it made me go back to something that we had grew up with. We can go anywhere we want to go as long as we first learn how to respect ourselves first.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes back to what our parents taught us. Self-respect will open every door. Even though our parents, grandparents, some mentors were toxic, but thanks be to God, Jeanette, that the Lord has taken us through the toxic parts of our life and didn't allow it to grow on us. Now watch this. Even though things stick, but that didn't stick on us because it was a time and a place that inside of us, we knew how to get that off of us. It may have been toxic at times because I know your mom. You know my mom. My mom had me at 16. Hell, she didn't know how to parent at 16. But guess what? She was toxic. But guess what? Thank God I didn't carry it on to my group. You didn't carry it on to our group. Now, little things seeped out. But here's the part to it. We was not the result of what we went through.
What's that song when they said, I'm glad I don't like what I've been through? You know, and like I said, Delano, anybody, like I said, because there are kids that basically grew up in foster care, that grew up without parents and things of that nature. Like I said, you can basically change your situation or become the person that you want to be. Now, we have 45 seconds left on the show. And I basically want to thank you guys for joining. I want to thank Jackie for having the patience to sit out there and listen, even though she don't want to talk.
Now, next week, I'm going to be talking about
Kathy still on the line, Jeanette?
Do what?
Was Kathy still on the line?
No, she hung up. She hung up.
Okay.
Okay. So basically, next week, I'm going to be talking about learning how and when to forgive. Because forgiveness is also a choice and it's a process. A lot of times, Delano, I'm finding out that many people are holding on to things and it's not doing them any good. So basically, trying to teach people how and when to forgive. So join me next week, Blog Talk Radio at Precious Predicaments with Jeanette Abney. Thanks for listening. Remember, you got this. Bye-bye. That was a quick hour.
Be ready because I'm going to go pick you guys up.